On this episode of The Playbook, I have Terry Thayer, co-founder of IntelliMate, and we're going to discuss how you can make more money by working a lot less. Join me for all of this and more on The Playbook. This is Entrepreneurs The Playbook, where each week I bring you some of the greatest athletes, celebrities, and entrepreneurs to talk about their personal and professional playbook to success and what made them champions on the field and in the boardroom. I'm your host, David Meltzer. I have the incredible Terry Thayer. He is the founder of AMZ Pros, but he's really a true entrepreneur because there's a lot more than you do within the context of Walmart, Amazon, real estate. And so I want to start there, Terry. You know, what is it that's in your blood and your mindset that allows you to keep on exploring different opportunities and options that, number one, established you as a great entrepreneur in real estate, but now has transformed and transitioned you into e-commerce?
Yeah. Okay. So first off, I think it's a sickness that we have. It's called entrepreneurism.
Thank you.
I think we need to be treated for that. it's never enough, right? It's always like the next thing, the next thing, next biggest thing. But we were just talking a little while ago, The Amazon, the Walmart, that's like the newest thing that we're pushing, we're promoting. Our real estate businesses completely run themselves. I spend most of my time in the Amazon or the e-com automation and the mentorship part. Maybe at best, I spend 5 hours a week in the rest of my businesses. They're running themselves very well. Got to have all the systems, processes in place so that you can start putting people to follow those systems and processes. And that allows you to, as you know, be able to do other things. And so here we are.
And Terry, it takes years to build.
Oh, yeah.
Number one, the situational knowledge experience. Two, the amount of money that it takes to do the processes. And then three, to hire the people. Then four, to train those people. And I think a lot of entrepreneurs that have the same sickness that you and I do really, I think, over or underestimate, I should say, how difficult it is to get a business automated. So number one, how long did it take and how difficult, and if you wouldn't mind sharing even the investment that it took, but even moreover, through that automation of a traditional business like real estate, is that what led you to automating e-commerce in the Amazon and Walmart space?
Yeah, I mean, kind of. I mean, that part was already, I didn't invent that part. That part was already there. I just, when I found out about it, I was like, holy crap, like this is a pretty cool opportunity, and I jumped in on it. So the first part is like about the, I think it's the hiring part is where people get caught up at first. Like what was it?
You're building out the real estate, but how much time to scale that out? Because people underestimate.
Yeah, yeah.
They're just like, okay, I have a successful business. I'm making money here. And they go ahead and start a second thing and then they both fail.
Yeah, well, I'm an overnight success. I just got started in 2002. So,
right. So, that's almost exactly what I tell people. 17 and a half years is average.
So 2002 was when I started my real estate business. I became an entrepreneur in 97 with my first business as a contractor. So really from 2002 to 2012, I was just that grind, hustle, 10 years, no systems. Nobody could do it better. If I don't do it, it's not going to get done right. 2012 to today is when I really started to really, come into entrepreneurism, right? Where I actually truly had a business. So it took, I would say 10 years, or what are we at? 9 years. It's 9 years of consistently building systems, processes, the training, putting the right people in place to get those businesses fully automated. That's when it was like an idea that, oh, this could really be done, is like seeing it, that it's possible from somebody else. So for me, it took 9 years. I don't think it takes 9 years. It took me that long because it was, trying to teach an old dog new tricks. And
people don't realize that the skill sets that you gain from being an entrepreneur, they are transferable.
Oh, yes.
And, because people ask me, like, how are you doing all these different things? And I'm like, about 80% of the stuff I do comes from a skill set that I have. And then I have to be trained on the nuances and apply the practicality of business to them. What are some of the differences between the real estate business that you grew so successfully, and now you said you, number one, identified an opportunity that already existed in the automation, AMZ Pros, as well as the Walmart automation systems, et cetera. But what was it that you think were the differences compared to the transferable skill set that you had from real estate. What were the real differences of this business compared to real estate?
The products. It's just a product. Yeah. Product knowledge. Like, we're selling houses in real estate, right? We're flipping houses. We're doing wholesale and marketing acquisition, but a lot of it, like the sales, the marketing's the same. It's just a different product, right? The sales is very similar. So it's really, I think the biggest piece to it is going to be the product, houses versus e-com.
Right.
Like, and I'll tell you, for many years, I've been wanting to get into the e-com business. I've been wanting to get into more digital online stuff. And I felt like because I labeled myself as the real estate guy, that I didn't have the permission to get into that space. And finally, something a couple of years ago, I was like, I've just got to do it. Like, I'm going to miss the wave if I don't. You know, it's almost like, oh, did we buy Bitcoin 10 years ago? And now here we are today, right?
Yeah, it's so interesting as you kind of cross over in that perspective that you can do anything. I was blessed, I always tell people, because I grew up poor. You know, when I'm speaking on stages around the country, I'll say, who here grew up poor? Half the people raise their hand. I'm like, I feel sorry for the rest of you. Because one of the advantages of wanting money is that you keep your options open.
Yeah.
And so even though I went to law school, business school, all the things that I've done in technology and sports, I've never really labeled myself that was who I was. You know, it wasn't like I drive trucks, I'm a truck driver. Right. For me, it was, I'm a moneymaker. And so I'm always keeping my options open, whether it's TV, movie, speaking, books, content, whatever we're doing. For you, you know, for those that aren't familiar, what is it about AMZ Pro and this e-commerce automation that was attractive to you? And maybe start with explaining what it is to people, because I'm sure there's a lot of real estate entrepreneurs out there going, what does he do?
Of course. Yeah. Let me tell you my journey. So in 2019, I was like, all right, finally, I gave myself the permission. I'm going to get into e-commerce. I started buying courses, talking to different mentors, like, oh, I need to learn this, right?
Yeah.
And I'm like, this is a whole nother job. Like, this is this is some work, right? And I started to give up on it. And then I learned about Amazon automation. So Walmart's fairly new. Not new that Walmart, but right. The automation part, the third-party sellers, all that stuff is fairly new. But I learned about that. And I'm like, okay, well, I can get into doing e-com by having somebody else do it for me and I make money. Okay, am I hearing this right? Is this too good to be true? So looked into it. I ended up buying a store from somebody, learning more about it. I was doing affiliate stuff, work with them. And then it really didn't like how it was going. So then I said, you know what? I'm going to take it in my own hands. I've learned enough to know how to do it. Partner up with somebody who is, let's call it the brains of the operation, that knows all the back end stuff that has all that going, and then just apply my business sense, my business systems in place, and let's together grow this business. So that's where the journey went, right? And what is it? Okay, so what it is with both Amazon and Walmart's platforms, so you would, so say you become a client, you purchase a store from us, we get you set up with a new LLC, credit, all these different resources, right? Once your store is up and running, it takes a couple of months to get everything clicked and running. Once your store is up and running, you're selling products, we have to do a warm-up period. It's different depending on the different types of new Amazon, old Amazon, Walmart, different warm-up periods, different styles, different margins, all that. Once we get that store up and running, you're making money, and you're doing two things every single month. Well, three. You're receiving money from Amazon or Walmart twice a month. You're paying down your credit card so you can continue to grow your business, and then we send you a bill once a month for 30%. So we do a 70-30 split on the back end for like a management fee, basically.
Yeah. And there's an upfront setup fee.
Setup fee. Yep.
And what if someone has it already set up?
It could be a conversation, but we're really just managing, because there's so many. We were just talking to somebody yesterday. There's so many different things that we would have to go through. We could potentially do it for a fee.
Yeah.
But
exactly.
No. We know how to do it when we're taking it from start to finish, right?
Yeah. And that, I mean, it took a lot of confidence to leave a secure business in the hands, like you said, because it's such a small percentage of time, from 100% down to about 5% of the time. But you're a person like me that we believe in takeaways. And so, you know, a lot of people are having this experience because of COVID, pre-COVID, and we'll have it post-COVID of transitioning. Yeah. And everybody's looking for a side hustle at the very least. Entrepreneurism from the time I started, when you told people you were an entrepreneur when I was young, that meant you were like an actor. You were unemployed, right? You were working at the bar.
Right.
Your actors and entrepreneurs hung out together with the same reputation. Now you're like a superhero, right? Like if somebody would have told me that when I was 50 years old that, you know, people would want my autograph and, you know, watch videos of you from being an entrepreneur, I'm like, come on,
you'd laugh,
man.
At
exactly.
It, right?
Next, you're going to tell me that you can make millions of dollars playing video games, right? Come on, this ain't going to happen. But it seems like it will. But I think part of the way that we got here is that not only did we learn lessons, but we actually implemented those lessons. And these takeaways are so important. Do you have some key takeaways or lessons that you stick by through this journey that you could help some of the entrepreneurs with?
1,000,000%. I talk about this all the time. I said when I started real estate, it was 2002. 2012 is when things started to change. Why did things start to change? Because I started hiring mentors. I started educating myself, investing into myself. And that's when things started exponentially growing. I make a whole lot more money than I did in 2012, a whole lot. Like, it's not even comparable. And I work a fraction of the time doing it. So it's like, that allows you to be able to work less and make more. So mentorships, like not being too proud to do things yourself and allow other people to help you, right? But here's one of the biggest misconceptions, I think, is when people are getting started, they feel like they're just getting started. They can't afford to hire a mentor. They can't afford not to hire a mentor. It's cost you. I can't tell you how much money it's cost me by not hiring mentors. Like, we always have mentors.
I lost over $100 million because I didn't think I needed or wanted a mentor or a coach.
Yeah.
And the irony is, I'm sitting there in, you know, running one of the most notable sports agencies in the world. Every one of my athletes has superior talent than anyone else in the world. I mean, you know, all the big names, they all had coaches to be great. Right. And here's the irony is that when I became a coach myself and, you know, mentor so many different people, I transitioned a lot of professional athletes into the business world, into entrepreneurship. It's amazing how many of the athletes are still resistant to personal development or investing in themselves. I'm like, and then it's like a shock to them. I said, hey, how'd you become such a great baseball player? Did you ever have a pitching coach? Yeah, since I was 5. Oh, and so you think you're just going to get into the business world and you don't need a coach anymore, that you'll figure it out? I think there's more variables in entrepreneurship than there is in pitching.
Yep.
And there's a lot more people trying to stop you. You know, the way I would analogize it to someone is, imagine being a pitcher, but like every 3 feet, there was someone that was throwing stuff at you.
Yeah. Like, you know, right.
Surprising you, stealing your ball, you know, whatever it would be. So investing in yourself is one of the great takeaways.
Yeah.
How about another lesson that you learned as you transitioned or even before?
Well, let me mention this, because something that you said, you started talking about sports, right?
Yeah.
So about a year or so ago, I started looking at business like sports. And when I did that, things started totally changing, making sense, right?
Yeah.
Just like you said, all of these teams, they have coaches. I mean, these sports, they have... You go to a professional level, like, let's talk about NFL. You've got a quarterback coach. You've got a kicking coach, a linebacker coach. You've got, like, special everybody teams. Every single person has a coach. And then you take it off the field and you've got a conditioning coach, nutrition. Like, it's just
Russell
keeps
Wilson
on
says
going.
He spends $1 million off the field for his training and nutrition.
Who?
Russell Wilson.
Oh, yeah.
$1 million a year,
by the way.
$1 million a year, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's wild, right? So when I started treating... they have the coaches, and then they do what? They practice their craft so much, and then they play an hour a week, or, well, depending on the sport. I'm talking about football right now. They play an hour a week, and they play what, 16? They think they just bumped it up to 17 games or something.
Yep.
But that's all they're playing. They're all year long just for those 17 hours or whatever, right? So when I started doing it, now I'm like, okay, I need to be a better coach of my team. We need to have assistant coaches. We need to show, here's the other thing. In sports, what are they constantly doing? They're watching film. They're going over metrics. They're talking about the different, what happened, what this person that they're going up against is doing. How in the last game you did this. This game you need to do this. Right? So we're looking at metrics. We're looking at, we're practicing. So we do training every single morning with our sales team or every single department, actually.
Yeah.
their managers will train with the team, right? So when we started doing that, things just started really going to the next level.
It's so funny that you say that, because I was blessed as a child. Tony Gwynn, who I believe to be one of the greatest hitters of all time in baseball, played for the San Diego Padres. He owned the San Diego School of Business and San Diego School of Baseball, sorry, with Alan Trammell from the Tigers. But I was so amazed when I was 12 years old, because he sat there for hours and he would help the kids, which showed me how important it was to give back to the community. Here's like the hero of all heroes. And he was taking the time to help 12-year-olds.
Yeah.
And then he sat on an old Betamax, VHS, whatever those machines, watching a pitcher literally like this for like an hour. Like he was registering, like, and here's the greatest hitter, and he still was spending all the time to find right. out and to be more interested in all. And it just stuck with me my whole life. Like if Tony, so that's what helped me most in sales, is when I got out of law school, I treated sales, and I was a natural salesperson, probably as natural as Tony Gwynn is at baseball. I am at sales. I was just born with that quantum gift, but I treated it, and I still today treat it like Tony Gwynn. I literally look at it and say, for hours, what is this little part for you?
Right.
What is the subtlety of success that you've learned? Like Tony Gwynn knowing the release point on a pitch. What's the subtlety that you've learned by spending all this money and investing in yourself?
Yeah, it's practice, of yeah. course, right? But one of the biggest things that I've learned is that you can't do it all yourself, mm-hmm. and you've got to have people and get the right people, and how to get the right people so that you can get to the next level.
What do you
level.
Look for in people? Because you hire so many. Like, yeah. what do you look for?
So, I mean, it's obviously depends on the position, but yeah. I have a system. I have a hiring system. It's actually in a course that yeah. I do. You know, it's funny that whole story. Like, I would hire coach after coach after coach. I'm like, give me the answer. Nobody had the answer. I'm like, how to effectively hire somebody.
Yeah.
And I got so sick and tired of hiring and firing and hiring and firing. So after, you know, 4 or 5 coaches, getting a little bit here, a little bit there, then I've created my own system. Right. And now
it's like, a great system, by the way. More people should take that system, because it's one thing to hire, but I think you'd have a whole course just on firing.
Yeah. Right.
I'm serious. Right.
It was a hire slow, fire fast. Right.
Yeah. Exactly. That's a Gary V. Fire fast, Dave. That was advice he gave.
Yeah. Me. And it's really just like that. Like, you have to like rip the Band-Aid off. And when you have that gut feeling and you see something and the metrics aren't flowing the way you have to cut it quick. Or they're, you know what? I'll say this, core values allow you to be able to hire and fire, right? 3 of our core values.
That's a boy.
And that's purely like how you hire and fire. If they don't fit in those in that box of your core values, they don't fit in your organization.
And do you have a thematic mission statement type? Like, my core values are gratitude, forgiveness, accountability, and inspiration. And I put them everywhere. I teach them every meeting. We have Monday, Wednesday, Friday. Like, I've subscribed to what you've learned. I probably have invested in the same teachers as you have.
Yeah.
Do you have your core values stated, or is it variable?
So I have them. We have an artist that's coming in. They're going to be painting all this on the wall.
Yeah.
And then we have all the mission statements from all the different companies that he's going to be doing some artwork and then some logos and all that stuff. Because, yeah, I want it in front of our faces.
Right.
Yeah. Did you ever read that book, The Great Game of Business?
I love that book.
That was such a mind opener. I read that book last year, and it was like, show the metrics, get everything in front of everybody's face. So we're like putting a thermometer thing, you yeah. know what I mean? We're having all that made right now and putting that up so you can watch that. When it's in somebody's face, it's a whole different.
Like, look, you give people too much credit to remember stuff.
Yeah.
Right. And I talk about, it's called an occupation. It's not a job. It's not work. It's activity you get paid for, and you have activity you don't get paid for. But what I want my team to be is occupied.
Yeah.
Right. And those visualizations, and I learned that from that same book too, keeping things in front of people allows it to occupy them.
Right.
And your objectives become their occupation. And when you pay attention to and give intention to things, those coincidences, those successes not only happen for you, but there's nothing that will create success more than elevating others to elevate yourself.
Right.
And you've been a classic example of that. So here you are, you have the successful real estate building running by itself business. Then you have e-commerce, and you're just, you know, getting your feet wet, yet you've had tons of success.
Yeah.
What's the next step? What are you looking at? Because I know you, with the sickness that you have called entrepreneurship, this can't be enough. What are you looking to expand on next, or what are you focusing in on in the horizon?
Yeah, yeah. So, I mean, really this business right here, my goal is to get 250 people as fast as humanly possible. I'm giving myself no more than 3 years to get them to have at least 5 stores each, producing at about 15% margins with the 5 stores alone after about 2 years, 2 to 3 years, could be producing about $100,000 a month for them. I want to get 250 people earning $100,000 a month, 7 figures a year, as fast as humanly possible. That's my mission, my goal right this minute, is getting people to that point.
Well, that helps me, because I'm looking for 1,000 people to empower 1,000 people to empower 1,000 people to be happy. Last thing, you've been through so much personal development. I'm a huge fan. So if anybody's listening and you're not investing in yourself, what are you ever going to invest in? What's the best piece of advice from all the millions of dollars that you've spent trying to learn this stuff? Do you have a one-liner, or can you give me one of the best pieces of advice?
I mean, I already said it. It's like the one thing I can't stress enough about it, because I see so many people struggle, including myself, for so long, and it all of a sudden clicks when you start hiring a mentor, when you start investing in yourself.
That's
like
it.
If you're saying the best, if you're looking for like second or third, maybe there's something there, but the best
that's what we want
is hire a coach, hire a mentor, invest in yourself, personal development, read every single day. Oh, here's another big one.
Yeah.
Routine.
Holy crap.
Like that has been having a routine, getting up every single morning at a certain time, doing the exact same thing every single morning before you start your day started. It catapults your day.
You are talking to the freak of the week when it comes to routines, because my tomorrow starts today.
Yeah.
My day starts with an unwinding routine at 9 p.m. to put my embodiment and my subconscious and unconscious mind in the position to wake up at 4. But then I also have an adaptable routine that says I'm so routine oriented and disciplined and habit oriented that not only do I have a routine, but I'm aware enough that the universe and God, and they love to laugh at routines, so that if things get screwed up because friends come to town or there's bad weather or something occurs, I have an adaptable routine that's based off my non-negotiable values, so I still can execute at the efficiency, effectiveness, and statistical success.
Right.
You and I share so much in common. We could go on for hours. Yeah. This is one of the few times I always tell people I'm lucky to have a shorter podcast so I can do more of them. I wish I had another hour. Terry Thayer, he's the founder of AMZ Pros. Good friend, but incredible advice. I'm telling you, you're going to have the phones ringing off the hook with people that want to make 7 figures. And they may accelerate that to 2 years or a year and a half. Congratulations on being such an extraordinary entrepreneur and for managing your sickness so well. This is Dave Meltzer here with Entrepreneurs, The Playbook. Well, I hope you enjoyed this week's episode of The Playbook as much as me. On a personal note, I just wanted to thank everyone for making The Playbook such a success. Don't forget to continue it by sharing, subscribing, and listening to your favorite episodes. This is Dave Meltzer with The Playbook.